Lord, thank you for the fellowship and friendship around Jesus Christ. Lord, you make all the difference in the world. We just pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I started a message the other day called The Promise and the Problem with the Law. And we went over those two things, and then we went into the purpose of the law at the end of the teaching the other day. Now we're going to look at the praise of the law, the praise of the law, and we'll start in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This you ought to be really thankful for. I don't know how many of you have spent any time reading the law, but you do know how blessed you are to be a people that's not under the law. The law was made for the nation of Israel. It was to make them a peculiar people. They ate differently, they dressed differently, they talked differently, and they had a different relationship with the Lord, and a special relationship, one that meant that God provided them a means to have fellowship with Him. We as Christians have fellowship through Jesus Christ with God. The praise, the first one I'm going to look at, is found in Romans 6:14. The Bible starts off and it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." The first thing you ought to praise God about is the fact that you are not under the law. Now, Galatians 5:18 says, "If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." So, all Christians are led of the Spirit. Now, you may not always follow, but if you are a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Look at Romans chapter 8 now. Romans chapter 8, again, about this being led by the Spirit of God, showing that Galatians isn't saying that some Christians are still under the law. The only one still under the law is those that haven't followed the schoolmaster to Christ. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Once you're brought unto Christ, you're no longer under that law. But if you're lost, you're still under that law and under the condemnation of the law to some degree. You know, the wages of sin is death. That's part of the law's retribution. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Now, some people would have you think that, well, you're not the sons of God. Well, the thing is, you are led by the Spirit of God. If I told you, I said, you know, I'm going to lead you out of this building, and I walked down there and 99% of the people followed me out of the building, did I lead you out? Yes. What about the one that didn't go out? I still led you out. They didn't follow. Now, that's what you have to understand. When people read the Bible, I had somebody come up to me and they told me, well, I want to teach people how to be a son of God. And I wasn't sure what, you know, I was at lunch the other day, and I just was like, I wasn't sure what to make of that, other than it was this deeper thinking type of philosophy. Listen, I don't teach deeper thinking. You know what I do? I teach the Bible. Sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's shallow, but I don't teach deeper thinking. And I'm not going to tell you that you're not a son of God, because if you're not led by the Spirit, therefore if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. Everybody that's a Christian's led, not everybody follows. So let's just get that out of the way. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 1. "There is therefore now," remember looking at the law, "there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now here's where your choice is. You're going to walk after the flesh, you're going to walk after the Spirit, you walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. Now it's not soul condemnation to hell, it's condemnation. Just like saved doesn't always mean the soul saved, condemnation doesn't always mean the soul in hell. So, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do." Now, what is it that the law couldn't do? Well, let's look at what it says. "In that it was weak through what? Through the flesh." You see,
God had to send His own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the rights of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you walk after the Spirit, you fulfill the law. But what was the problem with the law? It was man's flesh. It was Israel's flesh. They could not keep the law. They could not be justified because the problem was man's sinfulness. Man could not keep all the requirements of the law because of his flesh. Simple as that. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, the Apostle Paul is speaking, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So through Jesus, he was preaching the forgiveness of sins. And by him, Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. What do you got to do to be justified? You got to believe. It's not how good you are. It's not how righteous you are. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are justified. Now look at what it says. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So people say, well, the law was given to, you know, listen, the law was not given to justify man because man's flesh could not handle the requirements of the law. You could break the law and then you had to bring a bullock to the altar. But then what happens when you don't have an altar? What happens when the temple is burnt down? There is no more altar sacrifice. There is no more ability to have that opportunity, to have that fellowship that you lose because you break the law. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And again, these are important things to understand. There's so much confusion on the law, so much confusion on works salvation. Romans 2:25, for circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law. But if ye, thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Circumcision, the Jews are called the circumcision, Gentiles uncircumcision. When they break the law, they become a Gentile, basically. So yes, circumcision profiteth in a spiritual sense, if you keep the law. But those that were getting circumcised didn't keep the law. Jesus told him, he said, you're a breaker of the law. Why do you seek to kill me against the law? They took Paul and they imprisoned him and did all those things against him, against the law. Now look at Romans 3. We're going to look at a longer passage concerning the law. Romans 3:19. Look at what is written about the law. Now we know, Romans 3:19, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know why the law is given? To make you a guilty person. It is not there to justify you. It's not there to make you holy or righteous. It is there that you understand your condemnation because of what the law says. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why is there no flesh justified in his sight? Because that's not what the law was for. The law, in the next part, by the law is the what? Knowledge of sin. You see, you don't understand sin without the law. I don't understand that when I drive down the road, I break the law unless I see there's a sign there that says 35 miles an hour. I was going to say 55, but nobody ever breaks that one. Under Jimmy Carter. You guys remember those days, right? You know, in other words, you see that law, and that law says, look, 55. Yeah, I was just doing a motorcycle. I was looking at you, John. You go blowing through, and you well, what are you? You're a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker. Why? Because you see the law, you know the law, and because you know the law, you understand you're a lawbreaker. That's what it's for. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The righteousness of God without the law, it's manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You could go back there and they witnessed to what was going to come. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. This righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. It's unto all, but only upon those that believe. That thing about belief, every time you get in your Bible, you start getting confused, just remember, it's believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Believe, believe. And that's where we are right here. So now he's saying, listen, it's unto all, universal. Christ died for everybody in the world. Every sinner, he died for all. But righteousness is only upon all them that accept that payment. And you could go on and on, and we will. Let's look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You know what God is when He judges? He's just. You know what He is when He forgives? He's the justifier, but He doesn't cease to be just. How can God forgive a sinner? Through the blood. God can't forgive the sinner without the blood. God can't forgive you without the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, He's no longer just. If He looks at you and says, you know what? You got 99% good and only 1% bad. I'm going to forgive you. He's no longer just. You got to believe on what Christ did for you on the cross, and then He is just in forgiving you, and He is the justifier when He does it. Let's go on. He says, 27, where is boasting then? You want to boast about it, right? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. You know why you can't boast? Has nothing to do with the Old Testament law. It has to do with the law of faith. It is your faith that saves you. It is the faith of Jesus Christ that saves you. It is personally believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the law of faith, and that's why you can't boast, because you know even God will give you the faith to believe. You have a desire in your heart to trust the Lord. He'll make sure you've got the faith to believe that Christ died for your sins, and He will save you for that. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, why doesn't that settle it for everybody? Why do you have religions that tell you, oh no, you got to keep the law. Oh no, you got to do this, you got to do that. Because there's more control in putting people under a thumb than there is if you allow people to live according to the precepts of the Bible. 29. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. What's the key? Faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. You and I, believers, establish the law. Now look at Romans chapter 9. This is important because if you don't understand about the law, you will not understand most of your Bible. And there are people that read the Old Testament and they say, oh, why? That's where I want to park. You better not park in the Old Testament. And without the New Testament, you can't understand the Old Testament. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore? Why didn't they attain to that law of righteousness? Why didn't Israel, you know, get what they were looking for? The Bible gives you the answer in the next verse. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, and they stumbled at that stumbling stone. You know what they did? They just disregarded faith. They wanted to see God, and they wanted to walk after His statutes in the flesh and not through faith. You cannot please God without faith. That which is not of faith is sin. And the Bible says God is pleased with a person that has faith. So as you look at this, look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. For they being ignorant, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. You see that? They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to who? To everyone that believeth. But the lost person doesn't believe. He's still under the law. He's still under the condemnation of law. So he says, well, I'm going to work. And then God says, all right, you're not perfect. You've worked. He says, I never knew you. Didn't we do all these things in your name? Yes, but I never knew you. Why? Because it's a matter of faith. Why? Because they didn't seek it by faith. They sought it by the works of law. They worked at it after the flesh. Look at Romans 13. I thought this was... when I wrote one of my... when I wrote my first book, I was studying the law and God gave me this verse. So this is 23 years ago. I saw this and it changed everything for me. People say, well, you shouldn't have any debt. And they go, verse 8, owe no man anything. See, you're not supposed to have any debt. You can't buy a house hardly today without some debt. Okay, so owe no man anything in the context has nothing to do with not having debt. And there's some churches, oh, we got to, you know, you can't ever have any debt. I don't want debt. I don't like debt. I wish because you're a servant of the lender. I get that. But don't use this verse to try to teach that to me. Why? Owe no man anything but to love one another. What's that got to do with going to the bank borrowing money? I'm sorry, I'm here at the bank and I am not supposed to owe anybody anything, but I'm supposed to love you. I mean, that makes about as much sense as what most people teach. Let's get the context. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You want to fulfill the law? Love one another. It is amazing to me, some of these yahoos out there that have no clue about Christianity. They think you're supposed to go out and fight with everybody. Owe no man anything, but you want to fulfill the law, love one another. Oh, I'm supposed to only love those which are perfect like me. Well, number one, I'm not perfect, but you are supposed to love me. I just want to get that straight. But those next two words, verse 9, what are the first two words in verse 9? For this. Okay, so what's the context? Read verse 8. Let's get the context. What's the context? Somebody try to tell me real quick. Fulfilling the law. And how do you fulfill the law? Through loving one another. So what's the context? It's loving one another. Now we're going to go into the law. Look at what it says. Thou shalt not. Okay? For this, because you love one another, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Want to know how to fulfill the law? Love one another. Now, why don't you kill, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness? so you can be justified before God? Not according to this verse. What's it say? You don't do that for this. You don't do those things because you love one another. You know what the law's for? The law's for this relationship, not this relationship. See, I'm already a child of God. I'm already a son of God. And so I don't do those things of the law for this relationship with God. I do them for this relationship with one another. Because you think about it, if I live like the devil, it comes out. I destroy my testimony. I destroy the work of God. I destroy my opportunity to witness to others. For this thou shalt not do those things. When I saw that, I was like, wow, that is really good. And it even gets better when we get into 1 Timothy, if we get there in chapter 1 toward the end of the message. So, let me beat a dead horse to death. Not that that's a good example to use. I'm sorry, Holly. I don't mean to do that. I say that every now and then. Holly loves horses, so you don't want to use this analogy. But I want to drive the point home a little deeper. Why do you keep those aspects of the law? Because you love others. Do you realize that if we loved others, we'd live better? You know what your motivator ought to be? Your motivator ought to be, look, I love you, so I'm going to do right. So it ought to be, I love God. Well, that's a given. That's a given. But you see, God looks down and He can stomp us anytime He wants and He doesn't do it. Why? His grace and His mercy and His long-suffering. But my problem is, if I don't do this relationship right, I'm going to do things I shouldn't do. I'm going to live in a way I shouldn't live. And when I live in that way I shouldn't live and do those things I shouldn't do, I'm not going to be able to have that right relationship. So He says, what's fulfilling the law? That you love one another. All right, now, again, I tried to drive that home as much as I could. Look at Galatians chapter 2. I tell you what, instead of that, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to skip a section in here and not do it because it gets a little bit deeper, and I really want to drive home this point. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, about 22 years ago, the Lord gave this to me. There are things called parenthetical thoughts. We think about them in parentheses. So if you take a parenthetical thought out of the sentence still makes sense. You know, I don't know how to say one, but I'll try off the top of my head. Joe went to the store. Without his money, but bought several things. Well, without his money, he could have had credit cards. You know, he didn't have his cash. So in other words, that is a parenthetical thought. It still makes sense. Joe went to the store and he bought some things. He did, you know. So anyway, that's a parenthetical thought. Now we're going to look at this. I want you to leave with this tonight. 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Yep. How do you use it lawfully? Well, you use it by telling people that the law isn't about your relationship with God. Your law is about relationship one to another. That's what the whole message has been about tonight so far. Same thing. Now, when you go into the next verse, there's a semicolon there. We start into a parenthetical thought for two verses. Look at verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So wait a minute. We know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, and then he says, knowing this. Now, he just gives you this parenthetical thought. Knowing this, do you understand what the law's, you know, all about? But he doesn't give you the conclusion about how to use it lawfully until you get to the end of the parenthetical thought. How do you use the law lawfully? Well, let's read verse 8 and 11 together. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You see that? How do you use the law lawfully? You use it according to the gospel of the grace of God. You use it according to what was committed to Paul's trust for the church. You don't go back there in the Old Testament. So now think about your Bible. God wants you to know that truth, but He's not going to give it to you unless you study. He's not going to give it to you unless you come to church and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Why? That's just God. When I saw that and I was like, well, I want to understand the law. The law's good. Okay, I get that. If a man use it lawfully, and I'm just asking God, well, God, how do you use the law lawfully? And He says, well, look at Romans 13. For this thou shalt not. In other words, because you love one another. And I'm like, okay, I got that. But right there in the passage, it's there. All you have to do is go to the Bible and find it. And God will give you that truth. So, you want to know how to use the law lawfully? You don't contradict what's given to the church about it. Paul says, you know, in his writings, he says, you know, he's nailed those ordinances to the cross. Took them out of the way. So, how to use the law lawfully? You don't go back there and get all those ordinances and apply them to the church. You don't go back there and say, we're going to do everything under the law because that's not using the law lawfully according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was given to Paul for us and for the church for us to understand it. It isn't according to that, therefore it's wrong. How do you know that? And listen, again, why didn't God just put that verse 8 and verse 11 right together? Why did He let Paul go off on that tangent? Because a lot of people don't want to know the truth. And if you don't want to know the truth, God will leave you as blind as a bat. You have to want to know what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is error. And if you don't want to know, He won't open up those truths to you and He won't turn your lights on. All right, let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. We just ask that You guide, lead, and direct in our lives. Lord, help us to understand some more truths concerning the Word of God. Lord, we need to know these things because we need to stay out of error. We need to help others to get out of error. And Lord, we need to hear from Thee in our lives. We just pray that You would guide, lead, and direct in all things. The music plays.